Hi, welcome to Happier Ladies, a podcast where we discuss all things related to the Happier and Happier in Hollywood podcasts.
We're sisters
and super fans
who can't get enough happier.
So we created our own podcast to keep the conversation going.
I'm Malika Amandi, a SoCal native living in Western Massachusetts, a new mom and an entrepreneur. I'm here with my sister, Azizi Williams.
That's me. I live and work in the LA area. I'm a not so new mom, and I'm an education professional in the independent school world.
In this episode, we answer a who am I question about play and share an update on our Happiness Project Revisited.
Malika, I wanted to tell you about an experience I had this week.
Ooh, tell me more.
I had to go to a meeting, not new or interesting that I had to go to a meeting. I'm always going to meetings. But this one was on the other side of town, like the west side. I think it's called Mid-City, or maybe it's closer to Culver City. I don't know. LA and all the intricate cities. I don't spend actually a lot of time in LA. Anyway, it's far and it's a place that I do visit quite a bit. However, I don't usually go at this time of day. So this meeting was at 9 a.m. and I had enough experience to know that I have to leave about 2 hours early to get there on time. And I just plug in the address, even though I've been there before, and I do whatever Maps tells me to do. And this morning, Maps told me to mostly take the streets there. So from Pasadena to, you know, Santa Monica-ish, that sort of area, I took the streets. And it was delightful, I have to say. It was a journey. I saw parts of the city I had never seen before. I passed by the Farmers Market and the Academy Museum and some other historical markers and places and neighborhoods. And then I got there and I wasn't as annoyed about the time because it really felt like a journey.
That's so nice, Azizi. I'm like a little bit like, really? You've never been past the Farmers Market in LA?
No, not that way. Okay, here's the thing about LA. I live and have grown up in Southern California. But Pasadena, you know, we have our own little enclaves and there's not always reasons to hang out in other parts of LA. But when I do go to other parts in LA, I just take the freeway and then I get off at the closest exit and then you are there and you miss all the in-between parts, you know?
Yeah. There was a time when I was living in Silver Lake, which is the east side, and I was working in Century City, which is not the east side. That's very opposite side.
Yeah.
But I had to be there at 9 a.m. And so I took the streets there every day. It was a summer position. So I took the route you're talking about. I went in that direction and I came to loathe it. Because that was my like rush hour commute, you know, but I could see for the first time that being very lovely.
I mean, I guess, yes, if you do anything enough times, you can get tired of it. But, you know, I went through Hollywood, I saw like sunset. And then I was, you know, you see all these touristy kind of cool places. And I don't know, it reminded me of the episode where I think a listener shared with Gretchen and Liz about how taking a new route could make something less stressful, could make driving less stressful.
Yes.
If you take a different way than you've done before, than you typically do. So I felt like that a little bit. It was a different way than I usually take. And it was delightful. I don't have to do it every day. But I learned more about the city that I live near than I did before.
That's nice.
What happened in Happier, Malika?
This week on Happier, episode 480, Gretchen and Liz share a wide assortment of proverbs of the profession. And this was just such a fun, special episode. There were so many that I wanted to recount, but I think we, for the sake of time, will limit it to a few that stood out. Azizi, what were your favorite proverbs of the profession?
Yes, this is a fun list to listen to and then to go back and read over. I want to memorize so many of them so I can just, you know, whip them out at the right time. But I think for me, the three that stood out most were, don't let urgent drive out the important. That is a daily challenge for me. And we've talked about that a bit, just how you never know what's going to come up in the day. And all of a sudden that looks like the shiny ball to follow. But then you have all the other priorities that you have to keep in mind. So that's a good one to remember. And then I like, let them go to watch them grow. That's such a lovely message. And as a leader at a school, I'm always encouraging parents to do this for their kids. This is sort of our school's mission, is to foster your children's independence. And it's really hard because, you know, you want your kids to need you and that feels good to be needed and you worry about them, but it's an important reminder that we have to let them go. And I think the third one was, no one ever promised you warm and dry. And I just laughed when they said this. I think this is for hikers or skiers. I can't remember which.
Yeah, I remember it was like either personal trainers or something to do with athletics. And
yeah, people who spend time outdoors.
Yeah.
But it's true. And you could apply that to all kinds of things. Like, no one ever said it was going to be easy. And every day is not going to be magical. Sometimes it's going to be cold and rainy. And that's okay, you know? So I liked those three. What about you, Malika?
I think that one could be like New England. No one ever promised you warm and dry.
That's literally New England. Actually, they're promising you the opposite most of the time. What about you?
I really loved nothing changes if nothing changes. I think they said it under the parenting category, but I think that's a phrase that I've used a lot in coaching. And it's just so good. I like the wordplay on it, and it's accurate, especially when it comes to any kind of personal growth or personal development.
It's very elegant, you know?
Yeah.
Not a lot of words, but very big impact.
Yeah. And then they said this in the Proverbs of the Profession for therapists, clear is kind. That resonated with me because I think clarity is one of my kind of highest values. And I think that especially when it comes to boundaries or feelings or important information, it's really kind to be clear with other people. And sometimes that takes more work on our part to understand what we want or what we think. But even if something is negative, if it's clearer, it's actually a kinder message.
Yeah. And that one is so hard. It's hard to do that well.
Yeah.
And so many things get in the way. But I have to say, the therapist section, every single one of them was gold. Every single one of those proverbs were gold. And I didn't end up choosing any of them because I couldn't. They were all so good. So yes, that one too.
They were good. Yeah. And then the last one that I want to highlight was from, I think, personal trainers. If you want to do it later, you'd better be doing it now. Which this is like a whole part of my yogi year in a way. You know, the reasons that I'm interested in yoga, a lot of it has to do with my highest dreams for longevity and mobility. And so being able to picture myself when I'm 85 doing warrior pose or something more challenging, maybe, or standing on my head or whatever. It's like, these are great visions, Malika. And if you want to do those things in the future, then you need to do them now or be working towards them now, right? Like, that's not going to happen magically, or even just climbing the stairs, you know?
Yeah.
I want to be able to climb stairs for as long as I'm alive.
Right.
And yet I've gotten into this thing of taking the elevator just up one floor. And I think it started when I was pregnant, because obviously you get a pass, whatever you want.
Right.
And then it just never stopped. I mean, never is a long word. It hasn't been that long. But that's a thing that I feel like I often take the easy route.
Right.
And yet, actually, I would like to be able to climb stairs for a long, long time. So I should be climbing stairs now, if that's kind of what I want for the future.
There's something there about a proverb about like not taking the easy way or the hard way, is the better way or something. That's not clever, but someone else can figure it out. Or maybe there is a proverb about that already. But I do like that. And I mean, you're talking about the aspirational things that you want to build boards. But you're also talking about the basic things that require effort, that if you stop doing it, will be more effortful or impossible later on. So yeah, keep it going. I don't know how to say that. Keep it going.
Yeah. They had another one, just sneak in a fourth. They said, only exercise the muscles you want to use. Mm-hmm. But is that it?
I think so. And I think that was physical therapists. They had good ones too. I think that was from them, right? Like, do you want to use this muscle later? Then you should be using it now.
Cuts to the core.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Yeah. So I came up with my own. I didn't come up with my own, but I was thinking about what are ones that I tell myself? So here are a few proverbs from a leader. One is, it's easier to wear slippers than to carpet the earth, right? Like, you can't change everybody else or expect everyone else to change always. It's better to think about yourself and what you can change and what strategies that you can make for yourself than to expect everything to be to your liking. You can't win today's wars with yesterday's weapons. There was another leader who shared that with me, which I just love it. It's so true. It's like, today is not yesterday. And so you need to develop new tools and strategies. And you may not be able to just rely on the way things used to work. That one I thought about a lot, particularly when I was first starting the job that I have. And then this third one is one that I just threw on there. Like, there's always time to go to the bathroom. Because
that is so true.
When you are very busy and, you know, you have this meeting and then that meeting and then that meeting, sometimes I can feel like, oh, I don't have time to go to the bathroom. I need to just jump into the next thing. But there's time. Like, take the time. Take care of yourself. That's important, actually.
I agree with that one, too. I feel like we talked about it on the podcast at some point, but that is also a personal value of mine. Go to the bathroom if you have to go. If you're an adult, don't ask. You know, like, take care of yourself. Obviously, I could see some situation where you would need to hold it, but most of the time, you can go.
Especially if it's a situation where you're wondering, do I have enough time, right? Like, if you're saying that to yourself, the answer is yes. Yes, go. So those are mine. Anything else that you have? Any other proverbs you can think of, Malika?
Well, I mean, this is the yoga. That's not really a proverb, but that's my mantra.
It is a proverb. Like, the obstacle is the journey, right? What's that one? Yeah. Like, the obstacle is the path. This is the yoga.
Yeah. I think there's one that I really like from, I think it's Gabby Bernstein. The universe has your back.
Mm.
She has their books, but there's a proverb, like, kind of in all things in life, love can be your teacher or fear can be your teacher.
Mm.
And like, do you want to be taught by love or by fear? Mm-hmm. If any challenge comes up, if you kind of put it in one of those camps, that can really change your response and the way you experience challenging times. If you can say, okay, this is happening to me and love is the teacher or fear is the teacher.
It's reframing. So powerful. Oh, in so few words. I love it.
Azizi, what happened on Happier in Hollywood?
On Happier in Hollywood, episode 364, Sarah and Liz discuss the joy of participating in a professional group. They talk about the benefits of a self-care hobby. They share pitch hacks, and they recommend a show called The Valley.
So Azizi, are you a part of a professional network?
Yes. Yes, I am. It's funny, when I was first listening to this, I couldn't think of any. And I thought, no, I'm not. There's nothing I'm a part of. But then you reminded me that I actually helped to start a professional network. It was called Women in Leadership Circle. And a colleague of mine and I started it for women in independent schools who were either in leadership roles or exploring leadership roles. And we gathered maybe monthly around a certain theme or topic. And it was so lovely. And I'm not leading it anymore, but it's still going on. And it was really lovely. But I guess I didn't think of it as a professional network. I thought of it more as an affinity group, which I think they are very similar. Affinity group is when you share an identity, you come together with other people who share that identity. And that identity can be, you know, an identity of yours that you can't change, like your race or gender or sexuality or something like that. But it can also be a part of your work or things that you've chosen, things that you like to do.
I think the Venn diagram of professional networks and affinity groups has a lot of overlap.
Right. If not the same thing. So
if not the same, because Women in Leadership Circle, to me, I was very much like, oh, my sister started a professional network. Of course she would resonate with this episode as I was listening to it.
Right.
And then when I asked you, you were like, no, I'm not in a professional network.
I've never been in a professional network.
I came to speak to your professional network.
That's right. You did. Yeah. That was fantastic. That was a good night. You talked about power pose. So of course there's value in this and I value them immensely. And I guess I just didn't think of it from the networking aspect of it. I was just like, oh, people showed up and, you know, and we get to know each other. But it was hugely helpful. And now another space is professional development attracts people who share a particular role or identity and gives them an opportunity to get to know each other and to learn tools and strategies to do their work. So that's another name for a professional network. It might be a professional development.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Malika?
Well, I have been a part of a professional network before. I think with actor life, being in the union, there were a lot of opportunities and the Entertainment Community Fund offered, I guess I would call them professional development courses for people in the industry around managing your finances or starting a business. They were educational opportunities, mm-hmm. but because of who they were offered for, it was automatically a kind of a support group and a network.
Right.
I think in my newest career journey, I don't have a professional network yet, but I am going to a conference soon.
Yay.
So there is kind of a formal organization that exists for career advisors in higher education that is a regional organization. And so I'm excited to go to a conference to kind of meet other people outside of my direct colleagues that are doing similar things and just to kind of get into, yeah, what is the vibe of this profession?
Yeah.
And to meet people. So I'm looking forward to that. There have been opportunities that I've seen online, even within that community, like for affinity groups, they have a parents group.
Hmm.
And I've seen that the posts online, but I just have not had the bandwidth to really engage yet.
Yeah.
So this will be a good first step for me.
That's exciting. Can't wait to hear about it. So do you have a self-care hobby?
Well, I think my nails have become a hobby.
Mm-hmm. Your nails are fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I used to get really elaborate designs and like I would have a Pinterest board and, you know, I enjoyed having this collaboration with the same nail technician. You know, I'd give her like, here's my inspiration. And then she would riff on it and took a picture and I had an album.
Oh my gosh.
On my phone.
That's a lot. That's definitely a hobby. If you're doing research and you're discussing it with others, you know, that's a hobby.
Yes. It's kind of toned down again, bandwidth. Right. So now I just have one color.
Oh, how boring.
Currently, I have one color on one hand and a different color on the other hand. So I think it's still a bit of a statement.
That was a choice?
Yes. Oh. I chose two colors.
On two different hands.
Yes. This is expression.
Wow. I could not. I told you every time I would get my nails done, it would be pink. It would be sparkly. And that was... That's kind of all I did for years. Some kind of pink, some kind of sparkle.
No, there's like 10 little canvases.
I feel like maybe there's a cue here for your fashion sense and your sense of style. Mm. Maybe you should follow your nails. Maybe you're like driving with your nails first and then let the fashion follow.
Interesting. I never thought of that. I'm going to be working on that.
It's data. I don't know. Just think of it as data.
Okay. Who was it? Punky Brewster, who used to have like different colored socks?
Yes, that was the 80s.
I don't know if I can take it that far, but I'm intrigued.
Okay.
Other self-care hobbies? I would put yoga in that category because it's something that I enjoy doing outside of, I don't know what you would say. It's not outside of work, but when given the time to do it, I like taking classes and learning about things.
Mm.
The desire is there. I haven't quite dove in.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Azizi? What are your self-care hobbies?
Right. This was another hard one. Nothing right away jumped out at me. But, you know, when I was in high school, like when I was younger, I loved lotions and potions. Like I loved making things from nature, like apple cider vinegar rinse and an oatmeal, you know, pineapple scrub or something. I used to really like that. And I would say I still do love scrubs and lotions, and I have a whole shower game. I like shower steamers, and I have shower after cleansing shower lotion that you apply. So I would say showers and then lotions and scrubs. Maybe that's my self-care hobby, and I could go a little deeper into that. And skincare in general, I do like, and I have dabbled in serums and masks and things like that, but it tends to be expensive and it's a little confusing, quite frankly, mm-hmm. what to apply when or where for what, but I'm keeping my eye out and I have a few things. But actually, when I thought more about it, I've really gotten into making mocktails at dinner. And I went out to a restaurant. I wanted ginger ale. This is a funny story. The waitress said to me, "We don't have ginger ale, but I can make it for you." And then she left. And I was like, okay, what's going to happen? She's going to make ginger ale. And what she brought back was like some kind of Coke with some maybe Sprite. And I don't know. It was not ginger ale. It did not have any ginger in it. And I was like, "I see that you have a Moscow mule on your menu. Could you just give me maybe the Moscow without the mule?" And then she's like, okay. So she brought back ginger beer, like really strong ginger beer with lime mm-hmm. and mint and that copper mug that goes with the Moscow mule. And it was so good. And then I remembered I have these mugs at home because mommy gave them to me for Christmas and I'd never opened them. And so I've started to go down this rabbit hole of making mocktails in this Moscow Mule mug and using herbs from our garden and different syrups and mixes, and it's fun. So there you go.
Nice.
That is my self-care hobby of the moment. It's a hobby now. And I would also recommend a Moscow Mule mug for anyone who would like a really special cold drink.
Nice.
And Liz recommended The Valley, and it's a reality show that has characters. She described them as being a little bit older than maybe the typical bachelor or housewife. I don't know. I don't watch Housewives, so I don't really know. But she felt like they were a little bit older in a different stage of life. And I work in The Valley. As I said earlier in my conversation about not knowing parts of LA, The Valley is also a part of LA that I don't know a lot about, even though I've worked here now for 3 years. I want to know more. So I'm intrigued. I think I'm going to watch the show and use it as research so I can get to know the city that I work in even better.
That sounds good. I'm hesitant to get into another reality show just because I am so susceptible. I get really drawn in and then I can't stop watching it.
It becomes an addiction.
Yeah, I have to finish the whole season. I guess if it's not all the way out.
Right.
I could only watch it so often, but I was so wrapped up in Married at First Sight and Love is Blind. And it's just, I mean, I can't pull away, you know?
Who's that really harming, Malika? Is that a bad thing that you can't pull away?
It's not a bad thing. It depends on the time, you know, the season. Certainly it has been there for me when I needed it, you know?
Right.
Emotionally. You know, sometimes how people talk about their phone and scrolling and like yes. Instagram or something.
Yes.
Like, Instagram, I could take it or leave it. It doesn't have any hold over me. But for some people, you know, they go on breaks and it's yeah. a whole thing. That's how I feel with a particular kind of reality TV.
That's interesting.
It has a hold on me. And so it's like, oh, do I want to be in the hold?
Right.
Maybe not now.
You have to wait till the time is right. To get into it. It's funny. I don't have that same, it doesn't have a hold on me. I could watch an episode and not watch it again. But Instagram does have a hold on me that I do scroll more than I should. So that's fascinating.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah. Well, I read actually that I think this was over the summer, Helen of Pasadena by Leon Dolan, who I know Sarah and Liz know and have talked about. And this is a book that came out so long ago, but typical me, I pick it up about 10 years after the trend is over. I just watched Sex and the City like 2 years ago. And I was like, this book is amazing. And it was really fun to get to know the city that I live in even better. So there is something about a hyper-specific deep dive into a location yes. that feels good.
She wrote a book set in Paris. It's actually partially in Pasadena and then the rest in Paris. That was one of her more recent books. And I had those same feelings of you feel in the know and just like the book was written for you somehow when you can identify the places where the characters are. That's really fun.
I have to put that on my list. You lived in Paris too.
Lived is generous, you know.
You live there. That's the best for abroad counts. I think if it's longer than 2 weeks, you're living there.
Okay.
You lived in Pasadena and in Paris, so you had some connections with all sides of that book.
Yes.
Well, I loved Emily in Paris, so I think I have to read this book. I think that's...
I'm like, let's go to Paris. I forgot. We went to Paris together, but we should go back.
We did go to Paris. That was a long time ago. I think it's time, and we can go... I was thinking about this. I bet the summer after the Olympics, there'll be some good deals. Like the following summer.
Yeah.
When everyone's gone, we'll have all the infrastructure and maybe they'll need to fill more, you know, hotel rooms. So, okay. That's a plan, Malika. We're going to go to Paris.
All right. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will discuss a who am I question.
We're back. This segment is Who Am I? Where we ask a question that will help you understand who you are. And our question is, what kind of player are you? So I heard this question when I was listening to the Happiness Project Revisited monthly conversation between Gretchen and Liz, and they were talking about play, which is coming up in May. And Gretchen shared these frameworks from Stuart Brown, who wrote the book Play. And it's all about what kind of player are you? And so I thought it would be cool to read those types of players and then to think about what kind of player we are.
And when you say player, you mean not for a particular game, just in life, when you play, what is your persona?
Exactly. What type of play might you enjoy based on these categories? Malika, what's the first one?
The Joker makes people laugh, plays practical jokes.
Number two is the kinesthete, loves to move, dance, swim, play sports.
The next one is the explorer, goes to new places, meets new people, seeks out new experiences physically or mentally.
And then there's the competitor, who loves all forms of competition and has fun keeping score.
Number five is the director, enjoys planning and executing events and experiences like throwing parties, organizing outings, and leading.
There's the collector, loves the thrill of collecting, whether objects or experiences.
And then there's the artist slash creator, who finds joy in making things, fixing things, decorating, and working with their hands.
Number eight is the storyteller, loves to use imagination to create and absorb stories in novels, movies, plays, and performances.
And then the final one is to create your own category. For instance, I can imagine a virtual builder who loves to code or the puzzler who loves to solve puzzles.
So that was the list that Gretchen offered. Malika, what kind of player are you?
So I know that I'm definitely the kinesthete. I really enjoy dancing and movement. I am definitely the explorer because I love to travel and I love kind of new experiences. I think the artist creator taps into my decorating sense of interior design and making things. And then naturally the storyteller. You know, I love consuming stories through media, but I also love telling stories and performing in that way. So half of the categories resonate with me. I'm very playful.
Yes, you are. You are very playful.
What about you, Azizi?
It's funny because I have an image of you with a hula hoop.
Oh, yeah.
like really killing it with a hula hoop. And that speaks to your kinesthete, like enjoying movement and dance and that kind of thing. So I definitely believe that.
That's funny. I forgot about that. I don't have a hula hoop in my life these days.
You need a hula hoop, Malika. That's how you can play. You are very good at it. I don't know. It's impressive.
My mother-in-law is an excellent hula hooper. We should share. I have some video footage of her just going, and she's got a fun physicality with the hula hoop.
Very inspirational. We should put that on Instagram. And you're also a juggler.
I wouldn't say juggler as an identity. I can juggle.
But is it on your resume? Like,
it's on my acting resume, yeah.
Okay. You are a juggler. If you write, you're a writer, right?
What about you, Azizi? What kind of player are you?
I think I'm more of a collector. It's funny, like, I don't collect lots of the same kind of thing, but I think that's what I enjoy about thrift store shopping and shopping in general, is just collecting objects. I also like to have experiences, not necessarily always new experiences. So I think that resonated with me. Definitely the artist creator. I like to decorate. I like to do crafts, you know, that kind of thing. But I would also add a few. I would add the relaxer, someone who just likes to chill. Can that be play? Like, when I think about how I would like to play, it would be just writing in my journal and looking at magazines. Does that count? So the relaxer I would add to the list. Also the naturer. Like, I like to be out in nature and think thoughts and chat and stroll. Like the stroller. I don't know. So I would add the relaxer, the naturer, the stroller. Those are the ways that I like to play.
I like the relaxer for sure. I mean, this is kind of mixing frameworks, but I know Gretchen talks about the different types of fun and that there is a type of fun that is kind of easy, like binging your favorite show. Doesn't take a lot of effort and it can still be really fun, but we can't just only have that kind of fun. We're happier when we actually do some of the things that take more effort, like going out or meeting new people.
Right.
And I think relaxer is in that category of like...
in the fun, but not the play.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm just bringing that up. I mean, you could make it social. I love going to Wii Spa with other people. And that's fun.
Right.
That's a big relaxing activity.
So I guess the question is, if it's fun, is it play? I'm sure there's a definition of play that we could run this through that would tell us.
My brain is exploding, like true fun, right. Play.
Also a treat. Like, is it a treat? So many frameworks. All right.
Let us know what kind of player you are. Which of these types resonates with you? We would love to know how you enjoy your play time. Send us a note at happierladies@gmail.com, or you can send us a message through Instagram at happierladies. Our next segment is the Happiness Project Revisited Update, where we check in on our personal happiness projects.
So Malika, April's theme was friendship. How did April go for you?
You know, it went pretty good, I think. I did a few different things that fit into this theme of friendship. So I sent some late, very late holiday cards.
What holiday are we talking, Malika?
These were like Happy New Year cards.
What?
That, you know, I still had a stack. There were some that, because I didn't have the right address or whatever, I couldn't send them out with the rest of the batch.
Yes.
And it has a few photos of our family and says 2023 memories with little updates. And so taking Gretchen's advice of, you know what, it doesn't have to be like a long letter that you're sending. Just any gesture is a gesture. Just do it. Do what you can. These people were on my list and I just hadn't gotten to it and gotten to it.
Yeah.
But they're like friends that I'm not in the most regular contact with, but that's why we do holiday cards, you know? So I decided, yes, it's embarrassing. We're almost in the summer now, but just going to send it. Why not?
I mean, it'll be fun to receive it. Anytime. So,
right?
Yeah, I get it.
I initiated hang out with two newish friends who are also mothers in the area. So this will actually be this coming weekend to go to like a 2-hour yoga massage class and then to get lunch after. So that was me trying to make bridges with newer people in my life.
What is yoga massage?
I don't know. I'll let you know.
You after don't know. This It's yoga massage in one class?
It's a restorative yoga class plus massage. I think they're going to teach us how to massage ourselves.
Interesting.
I don't think we get a massage. I think it's like how to use yoga as a massage.
All right. Report back. I'm intrigued.
I'll report back. And then I have a work trip coming up that I'm going to extend a little bit to have my own adventure. And I've extended an offer, I'm calling it a friendezvous, to meet up with a friend who lives somewhere else in the country. So not totally sure if that will pan out, but I feel good about making the offer. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm putting myself out there and communicating, even if it doesn't work out, that, hey, I'd love to spend a weekend with you.
Yeah, that's an emotional bid you're throwing out there. That's nice.
And then I think the last piece that I did that was intentional was to, in a time when I would otherwise have just been by myself with Indigo, I instead reached out to people in the area who also have kids to have like a combined play date, friend hangout kind of situation. So Norm was out of town for work for a few days, and it's really helpful to have plans after daycare pickup. There's like a stretch between 4 to 6:30 that can be really, you know, rough. So on 2 days, I made plans with other moms, and the kids are at an age where they're not really playing together. They're like,
it's called parallel play.
Okay. So they're in this parallel play zone. So not really a play date, but it's a chance for me to connect with other parents. And it's not the deepest level of connection, but it is a connection in that context. So I feel good that I did that.
It's kind of nice. I sort of miss those times. And I don't know that I fully embraced it when it was happening. But, you know, because your kid is there, you're also having like casual connections with other parents. And, you know, you have your kids there to kind of distract you. Your kid can also be an excuse when you have to go or if you need to get out of it. But that goes away when your kids get older and they don't need you there anymore and you don't have the connection with the parents in the same way. So that's nice. I'm glad you're getting to enjoy that.
How about you, Azizi? How did your month go?
Well, speaking of late cards, I did get to send out half of the thank you cards for my wedding. That was 2 years ago.
Good job. That's huge.
Yay.
Gold star.
Thank you. And there's light at the end of the tunnel. I bought stamps. I have addresses now for the others. Addresses is a stumbling block. That's a challenge. But anyway, I've got the addresses, got the stamps. Now I can send the other half and then I can cross this off my list. So I'm happy about that. I had 3 meetups with people who I don't work directly with, but they're sort of in my work world who I wanted to get to know better. And so I had either coffee or lunch with each of them. I initiated it and, you know, we found a time. I suggested a place. And it's kind of nice. I'm coalescing around a few spots so that it makes it easier. Nice. It takes the work out of where to meet. And I think that was a happier in Hollywood or a happier hack to throw out the place.
Oh, yeah. Pick the default.
Yeah. So I'm doing that and it's working well. I always give people an opportunity to say if they'd prefer something else, but just takes the labor out and makes it a little bit easier. It was nice. And then I have a few more coming. May is just bananas. In schools, we call it the 100 days of May. Anyway, they'll come later, probably in June.
Good job, Azizi.
Thank you. It was a good month. I appreciated the push and I appreciated the theme. So I feel good about the progress I made.
So what is May about?
So May is about focusing on discovering what's fun for you, making more time for play, or on reviving a dormant hobby. So May is about play. And Malika, what are your plans for May?
I think my track is going to be the making more time for play. I don't know that I have the bandwidth to revive something right now or discover something new, but I could try to do more of what I know that I like already or things that are kind of already on the books, so to speak. So I guess one goal I have is around reviving a dormant hobby, which is I would like to do trivia somewhere. I know that there are a couple places in my town that do pub trivia. You know, it's in the evening, it's on a weeknight. So it's going to take some coordination and finding a babysitter and all of that. But it feels very important to like just see what is it like, you know? And so that could be a fun date night. We have a trip planned to go to Montreal at the end of the month. I mean, that in and of itself is kind of an explorer thing. I've never been there before. But I'd like to think about how to make that trip fun. Traveling with a toddler is not always fun by default, but this time is going to be really fun.
And it's all about your frame, right?
Yes.
Can you reframe that as fun?
Yeah, I think it will be fun. And actually, my husband's niece is coming along. So,
oh, nice.
That's going to be lovely. Nice to have 3 adults, and we'll definitely be able to find some times to mix it up and do things together and maybe have some solo time. And
you're going to practice French. right?
I would love to.
In preparation for our trip to Paris next
yes.
summer.
Yes. And then my other resolution, Gretchen talks about finding a way to goof off. And for her, it's going to the Met every day. It's like a structured activity where she can just wander around and kind of see what comes up. I really want that. And I'm not sure what that is for me. But I thinking about our secondhand conversation and my desire to build a mud kitchen for Indigo.
Whatever. Mud kitchens did not exist 3 years ago. Now it's a thing. I don't get
it. Tell me about the name.
I am salty. It's just making mud pies in the dirt. That it is a formal kitchen is hilarious.
Call it a play zone in the backyard.
It's just branded.
So maybe kind of putting this together could be, it's not really goofing off though. Like
it's play because you're collecting. So you're exploring, you're on a quest and you're wanting to curate and collect things for this mud kitchen.
Yes. Okay. So I'm putting that out there. It's something that I was planning to do anyway. I think I'm not sure yet if it's really going to be like play, but it could be.
It would be fantastic if there was a way for this mud kitchen to have an addition that you enjoy also. Like, how can you add on to the mud kitchen some adult aspect or something that is fun for you? I don't know what that is. Maybe a water feature or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, could I do like a very small garden? And I know garden can mean a lot of things, but I'm thinking maybe like 1 foot by 1 foot. Like, could I plant a flower? Like,
yes. I think you can plant a flower or have a little tiny bed or I don't know.
Maybe some herbs, something that's manageable. I get overwhelmed thinking about gardening, you know, with a capital G.
Right.
But maybe something small.
Yes. I think that's a good track. I think you should get something out of the mud kitchen also. And then you could collect things for that.
What about you, Azizi? What are you planning for the month?
Well, we talked about this last episode, but May is my birthday. So it's my birthday month and I am so excited. We're planning a family trip to Palm Springs. It's actually Indio, but it's very close. And there is a huge man-made lake there. And it turns out that a man-made lake, it feels just as good as a regular lake. There's still ducks and like, you know, the breeze, it's lovely. A crazy thing in the middle of a desert to have this lake there. But anyway, the house is right next to the lake. So there's going to be just relaxing in quote unquote nature and, you know, doing the things that I like to do. We're going to do a little thrift store shopping, soaking in the pool. Maybe I'll bring a board game. That's not really my brand of fun, but once you get into it, it can be fun. So especially with lots of people there. So I'll bring that. And yeah, I'm looking forward to just really having time to play and relax in Palm Springs. But the other thing that I'm thinking about is reviving a past activity, but it's not so much reviving as some things I gathered for an aspirational play. Does this make sense? So I have collected some coloring books over the years. I have not colored in these coloring books. But I collected them because they appealed to me and I should make effort to actually color in these coloring books. So I decided I'm going to put that on my list, as well as picking up the ukulele that was gifted to me by my lovely husband maybe once or twice. That's more aspirational. We'll see if I can get to it. But instead of picking a new way of playing, I want to use what I have already.
That sounds good. Was the ukulele, was it on your 23 for 23 list?
It was. It was on my 23 for 23 list and I did it maybe 5 times, but then I didn't stick with it and I still like the idea of it. So I'm not giving up on it entirely.
All right. Well, Palm Springs, Indio sounds incredible. I really wish I could go. It's just, that's going to be perfect. I think that's just such a great way to bring in your birthday month.
Yes. And I'll take some Marco Polos while I'm there so that you're included.
Great. I look forward to that.
Okay, let's take a break. And when we get back, we will discuss our peaks and valleys.
And we are back with peaks and valleys, because in life, there are always peaks and valleys. Azizi, you are up first with a peak.
Yes, well, I am happy to recommend a podcast, and this is a podcast from one of my colleagues. His name is Tom Henschel. He's an executive coach. He's been doing this for decades, and he shared his podcast with me. It's called The Look and Sound of Leadership, and he's been podcasting since like 2007, and this intrigued me because this is like the beginning when podcasting just began. He started podcasting, and it's been kind of a labor of love. He calls it his baby. Before he got into executive coaching, he was an actor, and his voice is so soothing and so melodic. And he does a thing where each episode he highlights a coaching session where there was some revelation, or it's a good example of a topic or framework that he has. And he talks about his role, but he does the voice of the person also that he's coaching. So it's like a story time. It's like listening to a story for adults, and you learn something. So my whole family, we had this long drive to Torrance or something, and we were listening to the episode on mastering nerves, and we were all just like really into it. So I want to recommend it. I think it works on many levels. And at the very least, it's a soothing story. And at its best, you're going to learn some strategies. The about section of this podcast says, "This podcast is an ongoing series of executive coaching tips designed to help you be perceived in the workplace the way you want to be perceived." So who doesn't want that?
Excellent. I can't wait to hear it.
Yes, I highly recommend it. You should definitely pick it up. And they're only about 15 minutes. They're not long, so it's not a big commitment, but definitely worth checking out.
All right.
What's your valley, Malika?
So my valley is just sleep. I want more. I really want more of it. Like, I'm sleeping when I can and getting to bed at a pretty reasonable hour. But I remember that feeling of just waking up when your body said, wake up.
Yeah. Yep.
And now, you know, I wake up because Indigo wakes up.
Yeah.
And it's been worse. So this isn't even like we're in a rough patch now.
Right.
Or anything, you
right.
Know?
Right.
I'm sleeping pretty well. Norm and I are switching off who gets them in the morning. But we both still wake up. Even if you get a little more time to sleep, you're up already. That's my valley.
Well, the thing about you, Malika, is that you really like your sleep. You always have really liked your sleep, and you've always been a very good sleeper. You had very good sleep hygiene from when you were a young child. So I'm so sorry, because I know, especially for you, how difficult this season is.
And I think most nights I am getting at least 7 hours, but my sweet spot is like 9.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's not happening for a while.
See me, I'm getting 7 hours now. That's about the most I can get, because it's so hard for me to wind down and go to sleep. But 9 hours, that's a lot.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to dwell on it any longer, but that's the valley.
Wow. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. You'll sleep in about, I don't know, 12 years.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end. Azizi, let's leave on a happier thought. What are you going to try this week?
I mean, I really need to try my coloring books and my ukulele. So that's what I'm going to try to pick up those hobbies. What about you, Malika?
I'm going to try to take the stairs a little bit more.
Good for you.
There's a bathroom on the second floor of my building. So I usually go to the first one, but why not go to the second one and just practice taking the stairs more?
Go to the second one. Yeah, I like that for you.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you like us, rate, review, and tell a friend. And don't forget to follow us.
Send us a message at happierladies@gmail.com and tell us something you liked about Happier and Happier in Hollywood this week.
Our show was edited by Magnus Bjorgum, and our theme music was created by Wyatt Muncy.
And we also want to give a special shout out to Gretchen Rubin, Liz Kraft, and Sarah Fain for inspiring our conversation each week.
You can find us on Instagram at Happier Ladies and on the web at happierladies.com, where you can find our show notes. All right, Azizi, have a happier week.
Have a happier week, Malika.
Bye.
Bye. The second one is the kinesthete. I should have asked you how to say that.
I think it's kinesthete.